Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Secretive by K.E. Osborne and Addison Jane. Narrated by Tortom and Tatiana Sokolov. Prologue. Coda. 4 years ago. An ominous black cloud descends over the clubhouse. Then a thunderstorm erupts, hailing down the anticipation of dread. Darkness is coming. I sense it looming like the hovering of the angel of death waiting for his prey.
I want to watch you suffer.
Igor, the leader of the Bayou militia, screams out to my brother Zero while signaling to his men. Zero tenses, spinning to see Igor's recruits holding knives mercilessly to our parents' throats. Huddled under the table, hiding from the chaos surrounding us, I can hardly hear anything above my sister, Prinny, as she sobs openly. Every inch of me is tense, wishing I could race out there into this fight and help in some way. Anyway. But Prinny holds me tightly in her grip. Not to mention I'm too fucking young. Too inexperienced. I'm nothing but a distraction to the brothers who are out there fighting. But seeing the recruits holding a knife to my parents' throats only rubs salt in the already open wound. The recruits don't hesitate in carrying out their leader's orders, their knives dragging across our parents' throats almost in synchronicity. In an instant, our parents' blood pools, running down their bodies as they both gasp frantically for precious breaths that just don't come. Prinny's screaming floods my ears. The sight, mixed with her gut-wrenching agony, sends an intense pain through to my soul. Prinny attempts to turn my head away from the sight, unfolding right there in front of me, but just out of my reach. My arms flail as I fight her, trying to push her off me so I can get out there to help.
Let me go. I have to help Zero.
She yanks on my arm.
No. Coda, stay here. You don't have anything to fight with. God, I can't lose you, too.
Guilt racks through my body. My eyes shift to Zero. Igor's gun is pressed to Zero's temple. That's when my body ignites in an all-new fear. But Zero brings his hand up, wrapping his palm around Igor's wrist and twisting it away from his head. The gun fires as he rips his arm back around toward him. Igor groans in pain, his knees buckling under the pressure of his arm being twisted. He's fighting Zero with everything he has. God damn it. I need to get out there to help him, but Prinny has a death grip on me. Suddenly, with his free hand, Zero lifts his gun aiming on Igor's temple. Blood and brain matter explode, and I relax a little as Zero gains a small vengeance for our parents' murders. My eyes shift around the club, and it appears the brothers have it under control.
Since I can't help Zero, and the brothers take vengeance, the least I can do is stay here and keep Prinny calm.
And right now she's losing her shit. Twisting out of her grip, I wrap my arms around her and pull her to me.
It's okay, Prin. Everything's gonna be okay.
My hold on her is firm as she blubbers out something. Then while clinging to me tighter, she howls,
"They killed Mom and Dad. Nothing is okay. Nothing is going to ever be okay again."
The gunfire continues as I bring my hands over Prinny's ears, trying to protect her from the noise. Tears stream down her face as we both can't help but focus on our parents' dead bodies. Zero continues to shoot at more of Igor's recruits as they turn, scurrying away for the exit like the pathetic assholes they are. Then suddenly, a loud rat-a-tat blasts through the clubhouse. Prinny and I both jump and turn. Texas is holding a machine gun, which is aimed squarely at the retreating assholes. Axe throws his hands in the air in celebration as the hammering of the machine gun ripples through the clubhouse, and the militia recruits are mowed down like rabbits. Blood and innards explode all over the walls. In times like these, I can't help but smile, loving the fact we're finally getting revenge on the fuckers who came in here looking to destroy every damn thing.
my family, our club, our home. The roar of gunfire draws to a halt, and cheering takes over. All the brothers are celebrating the win, if you can call it that. The club has lost its president and first lady. We have lost our parents. I'm not sure that can be chalked up to any kind of win. Even though the militia has been massacred here tonight, their captain is dead. It seems like all this war managed to do was leave room for new leaders to rise in both clubs. The cheering finally dies down as Zero walks out from behind the bar. My father, my hero, the man I looked up to, the guy I wanted to be when I got older, is dead. Mom is next to him, lying on the concrete. Their bodies in a single pool of blood, their faces ashen and lifeless. Spinning my body to Prinny, I draw her into me tightly, turning her away from the carnage. But she pulls in my grip, desperate to see. Her previously tight closed eyes now wide, her whites glowing in shock as they home in on our parents. Her entire body trembles with what I assume is the same shot of adrenaline running through her as I'm having. I want to protect her, but right now, I'm not sure how. Not from all this. They're gone, Prinny. The militia are gone. When her eyes finally meet mine, her bottom lip trembles. We shouldn't be doing this. She waves her hands around. There's no need for all this fucking violence. I do understand where she is coming from. But we're bikers. This is what we do. Prinny, we... Come on. I need to get out from under here, Prinny states, then slides out from beneath the table before I can grab her to pull her back. Instinctively, I take her hand, even though I don't need it. I want to be here to support her right now. She needs me. Zero has a job to do at the club, so I must step up and be the brother that Prinny needs right now, even if I am her little brother. Zero storms over to us as Prinny clings to me. Her lips are trembling, and she's staring, but not seeing. Her hair is tousled, and her eyes glisten with unshed tears. I understand how she's feeling. Our parents just died, right in front of us. But right now, I need to show both Prinny and Zero that I can be a man, not the kid they see me as. Holding onto Prinny, I puff out my chest. With tight shoulders, nudging me out of the way, Prinny lets all her frustrations out toward our older brother. How many times are we going to have to go through this, crew? She yells, her shrill voice making everyone around us widen their eyes. Quickly, I pull her back a step away from Zero, giving her shoulder a squeeze to try and rein her in. No one is allowed to call Zero by his real name. It's a sign of disrespect. Prinny is treading on thin ice. Zero exhales, rubbing the back of his neck, seeming to let it slide. He can obviously tell she's having a total meltdown.
Prinny, Dad. Dad and me were working on...
Peace? If you say peace, I swear to God, dude, I'm gonna take your gun and shove it right up your fucking ass.
Prinny.
No. Mom and Dad are dead. I saw their throats slit right in front of my very eyes. Coda saw it. You said this place was going to get better. You said we were going to be safe here as a fam.
We will be.
We're not even a family anymore. Can't you see that? They're dead.
Her voice cracks on the last word as she bursts into a sobbing mess. Zero steps forward, moving to grab her, to support her. But Prinny slaps Zero's chest frantically, trying to push him away through her sobs. Seeing Prinny this distraught makes my body physically ache. Zero doesn't let her push him away. Instead, he draws me into him all the while Prinny beats into his chest until his hold tightens, pulling her too close for her to keep fighting him. That's when she sobs into his blood-stained clothes,
while I wrap my arms around my brother and sister. It might be seen as weak for a 15-year-old to hold his older brother and sister, but right now, after what I've just witnessed and been a part of, I fucking need this too. They're all I have left.
I love you. I don't say it enough,
Zero says quietly. Prinny sniffles, pulling her head back from Zero's chest to look up at him.
Then let's go. Let's leave. The three of us. Make a new life away from this place. It's too dangerous here. We could go tonight. Leave all this shit behind.
My eyes widen, hearing what she just verbalized. Is she kidding? Walkers are defiance. We can't just leave the club. The fear in her eyes and the desperation in her voice tell me she's serious. Whether I like it or not, Prinny believes she needs this, and I know she can't do it alone. Zero won't be that person, so I will. Yeah, I'm with Prinny. I don't want to be here anymore, Zero. The words stick in my throat, and as they roll off my tongue, the lie sends pain to my core. But I know I must stick by Prinny right now. This is no longer about me. Zero rolls his shoulders as he pulls back and away from us.
I can't leave. With what happened, I have to step up. I have to take Dad's place.
As president?
Prinny's high-pitched voice echoes through the clubroom. Zero nods. Then he takes a deep breath, ready to respond, but she cuts him off.
That's even more reason for us to go. The target on our backs will be even larger. You have to see that.
Zero glances over his shoulder at our dead parents, then back at us.
It has to be this way.
Prinny scoffs, grabs my hand, and I let her drag me away.
Where are you going?
Zero yells.
Away from you.
Prinny snaps back as she leads us toward the stairs to the second level. I have no idea what I'm doing picking sides right now. All I know is Zero has a job to keep his mind occupied. If Prinny doesn't have someone with her, she will spiral and perhaps even fall into something bad. I know my sister well enough, and regardless if this is something I want or not, Prinny is my priority here. I may be young, but I know you don't leave family. We take the stairs in a rush, two at a time, and when we get to the top, she glances back down to make sure no one is watching. Then she grabs my shoulders and looks me dead in the eyes. The mascara she is wearing is running down her cheeks, and her eyes are red and puffy. Honestly, right now, she looks about as scary as it gets, so I weakly smile at her.
Okay, were you serious?
She asks. Raising my brow, I tilt my head.
About not wanting to be here?
Shit.
I mean, I hate what happened here today. I'm completely wrecked by it, but... Good. I have a plan.
She drags me toward my room, my feet stumbling as she's dragging me so damn fast.
Prin, what's going on? We're leaving.
My eyes widen.
What? Pack a bag. We're leaving. Just you and me. I have some savings, but I also know where the safe is in Zero's room, which is loaded with extra cash. I'll grab some of it, and we can just go.
My stomach churns in apprehension.
I don't know, Prin. Zero will be pretty mad. He won't find us. I will make sure of it. Aren't you sick of all this?
Again with the hand waving. Only this time her face tells the story.
Constantly being at war? If Zero wants to stay here and put his life on the line for this fucking club, then let him. I don't want to lose you, Coda. If I can spare you from this club, I'm damn well going to.
Fuck. When she notices my hesitation, she grumbles under her breath.
Fine. I'll go without you. At least don't say anything, and let me get away before you blabber on me, okay?
Guilt plagues me. I'm turning my back on my namesake. It's in my blood. But Prinny is my family. And she's so goddamn adamant about leaving. If I appease her by going now, I know we will be on the run for a week, tops. She will see this as a cool down. We will be back here before any fuss can be made about our leaving. Then I can start the process of making my way into the club. This place, it's where I belong. I'm a walker. My grandfather was Defiance. Dad was Defiance. Zero is Defiance. I can't be the first male walker not to join the club. It's unheard of. Besides, I don't want to be the first. This club means everything to me. Let's face it. I have 3 years before I can patch in anyway. So in the meantime, I'm going to focus on Prinny. Be a good brother. Help her through this crisis. Okay. Let's do this. Prinny's bottom lip trembles as she lets out a long exhale like she wasn't sure I was going to agree. She pulls me into an embrace and kisses my cheek.
Be quick. We don't want anyone finding us.
With a quick nod, I spin around and make my way to my bedroom, gathering everything I think I will need for a week-long stay away from the club. I'm sure that's all this is going to take. Before walking back out into the hall, I check up and down. There's no one around, so I walk into Zero's room where Prinny's working on the safe in the wall. Unease washes through me. This shit feels all kinds of wrong. My head is still spinning from witnessing my parents killed before my eyes. It's like I'm living in some kind of fucking hell loop right now. The loud strike the safe makes when Prinny closes it causes me to jump. My focus is glued to her as she spins the dial and slides the picture back across the area to hide it from my prying eyes. Then she nods at me, shoving the cash into her backpack.
You ready?
I guess, I reply, but it comes out like a question. She exhales.
We gotta sneak out while they're not looking. We'll head out the back door.
Someone's gonna see us. Prinny shrugs.
We'll just have to be super quick and stealthy. Come on.
Shaking my head, she grabs my hand, and we rush down the stairs, halting at the bottom. Zero is standing there giving out orders to everyone. He's taking to his president's responsibilities already. As I would have expected, seeing as he is a walker. It fills me with pride to watch my elder brother moving past the shit and stepping up. It's what we're supposed to do. It is how we're supposed to act in these kinds of situations. I admire him for being so fucking brave. He's just been in an epic fucking battle, lost everything we hold so precious, and he's still getting on with business. He's going to make an amazing president. Suddenly, yanking on my arm has my head snapping toward Prinny, who's pulling me past the pool table. A subtle movement gains my attention, a piece of paper falling to the table as she ushers me forward.
Prinny, wait. What was that? You didn't say anything about leaving anything behind.
Panic washes over me, and I resist her effort to keep me moving and yank my hand out of hers.
Shh, not now. I will explain once we're in the clear. Trust me.
My gaze falls from her to the note, then back to her. And with that, I strengthen and give her a curt nod, then follow her out the back door. Amazingly, we make it outside without anyone seeing us. Then we head around to the front to jump into Prinny's car. Everyone is distracted, and they don't even notice the gate opening as we speed out. A tear slides down Prinny's cheek as she drives out of the clubhouse. I can't help but glance over my shoulder, watching my home, the place where I grew up, fading in the distance, the place where my entire family lived together. Now my family is being torn apart, and it hurts more than I can even process. We'll be back soon. We have to be back soon. Right? Chapter 1. Coda. Present day. Being back at the club is all I've ever wanted.
Surrounded by my family and the Brotherhood that makes me feel like I'm a part of something, like I'm meant to be something. A walker. True to the name it represents, it's taken me a hell of a lot to get to this single point of my life. 4 years ago, our world came crashing down when our parents were murdered right before our eyes. That was a turning point for me. The club saw me as weak from that point forward, because I ran with Prinny. Because I left. Since then, I've had to prove myself, time and time again. When Zero finally came and got us after a year of being away, I was never more relieved. When Prinny dragged me away, I thought we'd be gone a week at most. Prinny was dead set on us making a life for ourselves away from the club, away from Houston. Being who I am, I was trying to prove myself in Chicago. So I got in with the local gangs there to show that I could live this life I was born into. All that shit did was put a price on my head and land me in a world of hurt. I had a lot to learn, and away from the club, I wasn't learning it. So we returned home, to the place I grew up, to the place I loved, to the place where everything feels normal. But even though I was back, Zero and Prinny were hellbent against me joining the club. They saw me as too soft, too weak, too fucking delicate. Basically not strong enough to be a brother in a 1% motorcycle club. The plan they set into motion to turn me into a man changed me irrevocably, because sending me off to Stonewall University was actually the best thing they could have ever done. As I slide my hand into Thalia's, her eyes glance up to meet mine. This is the woman who stole my heart when I went to Stonewall, and she's so damn beautiful that I can't imagine my life without her. Thalia smiles at a giggling Billy, who captures my attention as she and Phantom pull up a chair opposite us. We both turn to face them. Thalia beams in her excitement.
"Billy, I've missed you,"
Thalia coos. Billy reaches across the table, grabbing Thalia's hand.
"I missed you too. So much."
Billy was banned from the clubhouse. Unfortunately, she infiltrated us via our rival club, the Heathens of Hatred. She gave them information on us. But during the time Billy was at the club, she formed a relationship with Phantom and ended up helping us in the end. Her punishment has been strict and unforgiving. Zero wanted her head, but favors were called in, and this is the first time she has been allowed back into the club. Even if she is being watched like a hawk, and her time with us is for a strict 2 hours.
"It's so good to see you here. We were wondering if my stubborn brother was ever going to let you back," I tell her.
"I'm glad to be here, that I get to see you all again. I forgot how much like home this place feels to me."
Nessie steps up to the table with a box, sliding it across to Thalia.
"Delivery for you, hon."
She's probably bought more fucking clothes. I swear, the woman loves a good sale, so I think nothing of it. Thalia moves to open the box, and as she does, she lets out a little scream. My instincts kick in as the box topples over. A scorpion scurries out into the wood, adrenaline surging through me instantly as I grab my empty beer glass and slam it down on the fucking bug, squishing it all over the table. My breathing becomes fast and shallow as Thalia pulls out some paperwork from the bottom of the box, her face paling instantly.
"What? What is it, Thay?"
I ask her desperately, terrified of the damn answer I am probably going to get. She holds up a picture, and I recognize that bastard anywhere. My skin prickles, sweat tops my brow, while my muscles tense as my eyes meet her terrified ones.
"Who the fuck is that?"
Phantom asks. It's a face neither of us will ever forget. One that still haunts both of us. One that reminds us we need to be careful who we can trust. I state, as I wrap my arms around Thalia, who's visibly shaking.
"Then what the hell is this about?"
Thalia hands me something, my eyes scanning over the piece of paper. There's a price list with names on it. One name in particular. The vein in my neck throbs, my nostrils flare, and my face instantly flushes with heat. Phantom snatches the sheet of paper from me, and he looks it over. And I know the instant he spots what I saw. What the fuck? I turn to Thalia. A look of terror crosses her features, which is enough to send a shiver down my spine. This is a price list from the dealer to who Vance was trying to sell you. He failed. They didn't get their product. We thought you would be safe. Maybe the seller's coming to collect what, more namely who, they paid for. I grunt.
They're coming for me?
Thalia gasps. Her bottom lip trembles. Fear cripples me. The thought of anyone coming after the woman I have fought so hard for, after the life I have built, makes me want to tear down the walls and find out who is behind all this. Then burn them to the fucking ground. Anyone who comes after my family pays for their sins. But to fully understand how Thalia and I got to this point, I need to remember where we've been. How Prinny and Zero let go of the notion that I'm not good enough to be a part of the club, that I shouldn't prospect in. To them, I needed to grow up, to man up. This is how I did just that.
Thalia, 1 year ago. I came to the Brothers by Blood clubhouse after a trauma, one I constantly try to forget, but Shotgun and Avery took me in, as one of their own, as part of the club. Shotgun is more like a father to me than I think he cares to admit sometimes, and Avery, well, I adore her beyond words. I keep looking at Avery out of the corner of my eye, taking note of her tapping foot and the way she strums her fingers on the arm of the sofa. It's a nervous habit. I should know. After living with her for over a year, Avery became like a surrogate mom to me, so I've picked up on most of her tells. Is there trouble in paradise with you and Shotgun or something? The way Avery whips her head around, her brows pinched together, instantly tells me I'm wrong. What would give you that idea? Then why does it sound like the clubhouse is throwing a rager? Adrian has Gage, and yet you're sitting here with me, binge-watching Gilmore Girls. Gage is Shotgun's son, a son he shares with my sister, Emma. Avery lets out a loud snort and climbs off Shake and Mia's sofa, which is not an easy feat given it's like sitting on top of a damn cloud. You spend too much time with the boys, she declares, shaking her head and fighting a smile. Can't get a damn thing past you. So you are fighting? I scramble to my feet and follow her to the door. The thought of Avery and Shotgun breaking up has my stomach sinking and my heart rate accelerating like I have grabbed a live wire. They've been my rock this last year, making sure I'm safe and secure while the world around me spins like a whirlwind. One thing after another, trying to tear me to pieces. Let Thalia go, please! Emma, I screamed as my sister's ex-husband dragged her down the hallway by her hair, tears streaking her battered face while she pleaded for him not to come for me next. He wasn't meant to be here. He was supposed to be locked up. We still had weeks before his release. We still had time to run. The wave of nausea that hits me is familiar. I swallow hard and shake my head, trying to whip the sickening memories back into the past. My mother sent me to Emma because she couldn't fix her own problems and get off the streets. My sister got me into a great high school. She pushed me to get good grades, and she made sure I had everything I needed to make something of myself so I wouldn't make the same mistakes our mom did. Unfortunately, Emma ended up making them anyway when she married the wrong man. Garrett Drake seemed like the perfect catch. A high-profile surgeon at the hospital where Emma worked. He had money, the looks, and the charm, all bottled in one nice, neat package. It was the idea of stability for the future that won her over, not love. And eventually, along with all those positives, she discovered the other side to the man. The anger, the manipulation.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?